If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And you find your place, if you'll stand, if you're able to stand. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we're going to look at one verse, verse 10. The idols that make us idle is the title of the message today. The idols that make us idle. So, looking at chapter 9, verse 10, says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this opportunity we have to be together, to worship together, to sing praises. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish throughout this wonderful Lord's Day, this opportunity where we get to come together and meet corporately. And we thank you for each opportunity you give us. Each day is a gift from you, and I pray that we're being good stewards with the time. I pray, Father, that you would guide us and direct us through this as we look at this verse today. I pray, Father, that we would not have idols in our life. And if we do, that we would understand today before we leave this place, we need to get them out of our life, that we should have no other gods before you. So we thank you for what you're going to accomplish. I pray that you'd put the very words in my mouth. As I preach your message today, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us personally this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's not unusual to hear teenagers or even adults these days say, "I am bored." It's just not. The word bored originates from the verb bore, which means to pierce or drill. The term has evolved over time to describe a feeling of emptiness or lack of interest often associated with a dull life. I have to tell you, my Christian life has been anything but dull. I thank God for what he's doing in my life. And even as I mentioned already, multiple phone calls during the night and all. Definitely never a dull moment in the Christian life, right? And all I could think of this morning when I saw the clock and it was 6 a.m. and I said, "I'm not getting up till 6:30. What am I awake again now for?" And that time the phone hadn't rung, and I said, "Obviously there's a reason for this. I don't know what it is. It's probably so I'll be extra tired later, right?" But God knows, and he takes care of these things, but the Christian life is definitely not dull and boring. And I thank God for all the stuff that he brings into our lives. He didn't put us here to live a life of boredom. That's not why we're here. It says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." With thy might. Now, sometimes I hear that quoted and people will put "all thy might" in there. The word "all" is not in that scripture. So we need to remember when we quote scripture, let's quote it accurately. Do it with thy might. Reading this verse of scripture, I would say it does not describe a life of boredom. But I will tell you, one of the sayings I've heard a lot through my life is, "Idle hands are the devil's workshop." Yeah. I remember my grandmother used to say it a lot. And it's true. People that are bored are people who have too much time on their hands. I often say, if all those evil, wicked doers out there, those people who are stealing identities and hacking into phones and websites and all, if all those people spent the time that they do being evil and wicked in something that was productive, can you imagine what this world would be like? But people have too much time on their hands. And Satan knows exactly who these people are, and he's looking for them to do his evil deeds. There's too much that needs to be done. And no matter how old you get, I'm going to tell you, no matter how old we get, when we die, we're still not going to accomplish everything. Everything's not going to be done. I know for years, being self-employed, not working Sundays, by Saturday night at midnight, I had to have everything done because I was not going to work after that clock struck midnight, because that would be working on the Lord's Day, and I wasn't going to do it. God convicted me of that, and I had the ability to say no to that because I set my schedule. So I made sure I had that. But every Saturday night at midnight, I'd say, I still have a whole ton of things to do. I never could get everything done that needed to be done. And I thought, why get done today what you can put off till tomorrow, right? And that's a lot of people's mentality. And instead of doing what they need to do, they end up doing things they shouldn't be doing. The songwriter will always have one more song to write. Yeah. Right? The house builder will always have one more house to build. The mechanic will always have one more vehicle to fix, right? I mean, all of these things happen. There's always going to be more things that need to be done. I always think, since God called me to pastor, and when he called me to preach back in 1999, I thought, I always have to have a message ready, because you never know when you're going to be called on to preach. So I think, I'll always have one more message to prepare. I'll never, never be done. But the Word of God teaches us, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Do it with thy might. We have in our churches today, all over the world, many preachers and Sunday school teachers who are using the phrase, I will just wing it and see what happens. The problem is, winging it and seeing what happens, this phrase, winging it, means that they're going to put no attempt into preparing. I remember years ago, and loved the man dearly, Brother Charles Fearnow. He used to be very active in Help Ministries West, and he brought missionaries here every year for our missions conference. And I would, once I became pastor in 2012, I'd reach out to him and say, how many are you going to have this year? I need to get hotel rooms, I got to have enough food, I've got to have everything planned. And he says, I don't know yet. And I always found out how many we had when he walked through the door. And I talked to Brother Anchor, the previous pastor, and he goes, Brother Fearnow flies by the seat of his pants. I said, does he plan anything? I mean, I'm one of those that likes to have the details in order and plan things, right? Get it figured out. And he said, not since I've known him. And love the man dearly. And he loves the Lord. And he serves the Lord. And it's just amazing. But he just never really let anything really bother him. He just went with the flow. And some people, I guess, could get away with that. But I'm not of that type of personality. I have to have things figured out. God's work should be done with our might. We shouldn't just wing it. One of the reasons why today that a lot of boys and girls have so much time on their hands is because they're not being taught. They're not being instructed like they should. And I thank God for, I'm going to pick on you, Miss Sydney. I thank God for Miss Sydney, who teaches downstairs the Sunday school for the kids. And I haven't been in on one of them, but I've heard, and she's doing a wonderful job down there, and she's very talented. I've seen the pictures that you draw and stuff, and very talented. And I thank God for people who do that, and she puts an emphasis on teaching. There's a lot that don't. A lot of them, it's playtime. And unfortunately, and I'm not picking on here, because we don't have many at this point, we don't have a lot of children, but I've been in where some of them, that's what it's all about. When my wife and I taught in the Sunday school, we always made sure they had a lesson. They would have a craft thing that would go with it. They would take stuff home. They would have memory verses. It was all about getting them the Word of God into them, and that they would understand their need of a Savior. playtime's fine, but it shouldn't be the majority of the time. It has its place, but the important function is to teach them the Word of God. And we need to do that. The ones that can teach us the most in this life are the ones who've been around for the longest, right? And I don't know why, but ever since I was in my early teens, I gravitated to people that were much older than I was. I enjoyed learning from them and hearing about the history and all the things that they went through. I love spending time with my grandparents. And my wife and I, as we got involved in the churches that we've been in and all, we would go and visit the elderly in the churches and we'd spend time with them. And some of them would tell you the same story every single time you saw them. And it never got old. We loved it. We soaked that stuff up. We can learn so much from these people. And I remember one Mrs. Cook, years and years ago, she said, every day you can learn something new. So she set out every day, it was a day to learn something new. And I don't remember how long she lived, but she was in her 90s. And what a blessing. And she loved the Lord, and she loved my wife and I dearly. And we spent a lot of time with her and her husband before he went to be with the Lord. But we enjoy spending time with people because you get to learn stuff from people who've been around for a while. So much going on. Generations before us can teach us a lot. I want to look at some of the things that the older generation, some people would call them old, but I don't say that because the closer you get to it, the younger it sounds, right? Anyway, but some of the things I came across, I have learned that you can do something in an instant that will give you heartache for the rest of your life. I've learned that it's taken me a long time to become the person I want to be. I learned that you should always leave your loved ones, letting them know how much you love them, because it may be the last time you see them. Excuse me. I've learned that you can keep going a long time after you thought you could not keep going. I've learned that either you control your attitude or your attitude controls you. I've learned that regardless of how hot and steamy a relationship is at first, the passion fades, and there better be more to that relationship if you're going to stay together. I've learned that sometimes the people you expect to kick you when you're down are the very ones that will help you get back up. The Word of God teaches, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. But one thing that very few people have learned is how to overcome boredom in this life. I remember, and I learned it very early in the house I grew up in, if I said I was bored, wrong thing to say, because my mother and father would have a whole list of things that could keep me busy if I said I was bored. If I had nothing to do, I'd go find something to do, just so I didn't say how bored I was. But boredom is a major problem in the life of believers as well as unbelievers. It doesn't matter if we know the Lord or not. Boredom is something that we all have a problem with. This is why many are unfaithful in their marriage vows. Many jump from one job to the other. Many jump from church to church. It's why our jails are full of people. Boredom. It's why many have a drinking problem. They're bored with life. Bored with life. I want to look at two things this morning that will help us with this problem of boredom. First of all, there is the overabundance of things. This overabundance of things causes boredom. Amazing how much stuff we have, right? Every time I drive by another storage facility going up, I think, oh my goodness, how much stuff is in there that those people will never, ever see again? And I know years ago, and I picked on my sister a long time for it, but she had stuff in storage for 10 years. When she went to empty the storage facility, she kept one item. One. I'm like, we have storage facilities to keep stuff that we don't even know we have. It's amazing. Now, don't get me wrong. Storage facilities are a good thing because you can have an interim move from one point to another, so you have to have a drop-off point. They can come in handy. It's when they become the norm where people are storing things there forever and ever and ever. I remember Brother Anker used to say, possess your possessions. Right? Use this stuff. I've been after my wife, and she just said the other day, and I thought, praise the Lord. She said, we have to go through stuff. We need to get rid of things. We've just got too much stuff. And I said, thank you, Lord. We do. And I don't care who you are, if you've been in your house very long at all, you accumulate stuff. Some days I think, where did all this come from? And it just piles up, but we have an overabundance of things. We have been so blessed that we have an overabundance of stuff. And don't get me wrong, things can be a blessing, right? I enjoy going home and sitting down on a nice, comfy love seat. I go home and enjoy the fact that I have a nice kitchen with a refrigerator and dishwasher so I don't have to hand wash everything. And I like these modern conveniences. I think my favorite appliance in the kitchen is the microwave. I do a lot of add 30-second stuff, right? But we have an abundance of stuff. And yet we're bored. We have TV, radio, music, movies, telephones, internet, and video games. We have an abundance of stuff to occupy our time. However, only God knows how much harm all these things have done in our lives. I think sometimes we'd be better without them. Then I looked this up. According to the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, children and adolescents spend a lot of time watching screens, including smartphones, tablets, gaming consoles, TVs, and computers. On average, children age 8 to 18 in the United States spend 7.5 hours a day watching or using screens. 7.5 hours a day. I was like in shock. Do you realize that's 52.5 hours a week for people in Hollywood and the internet deciding what your children are exposed to? I was shocked. I grew up in a time when it was go outside. It didn't matter what was going on. I mean, we could have a blizzard going on. Go outside and play. It was amazing. And now we get a few snowflakes and everybody's concerned. Oh my goodness, it's snowstorm 2026, right? It's a few flakes, folks. Get over it. I used to go out and play in worse than that. But we live in a society where there's an overabundance of all these things. We don't have to think all anymore. All we have to do is sit and be brainwashed by the devil and his crowd. People with all this idle time on their hands have made these idols the gods they worship. It's amazing. I've been in some places where two of the kids in the family are on their phones and they're texting. And I automatically assume they must be texting somebody else. No, they're texting each other. I'm like, you're standing in the same room. Just talk. Nope. They can't do it because they're so addicted to the screens, that's all they know. Many years ago, I had a teacher as a client of mine, And she said she failed her entire class because she gave them an essay test. They had to do this essay on the test. And every one of them wrote the essay in text lingo. She failed them all. Parents were up in arms. I said, I'd have been there praising you for it. They shouldn't be allowed to get away with that. Why do we allow it? This overabundance. There are some who go to a worship service and they bring their gods with them. And during this worship service, they worship the god of their telephones. We have an abundance of things that people feel they cannot live without. I was so shocked and then thrilled when I found out my phone was missing when we were on our trip to Texas. I thought, oh, I've been trying to get rid of that for years. And then I realized that I didn't know anybody's phone number to call anybody to tell them where I was at or what was going on. They're all in that phone. Yep. I said, these smartphones have dummied us up. I used to be a walking telephone directory. People would ask me, do you got so-and-so's number? And I'd rattle them off. Now it's asked me for a number. It's in the phone. But I'll tell you, I can give you the phone number of the house I lived in as a child. I'd still give you the street address and all from that, from back then. I knew all that stuff. Nowadays, it just goes into the phone and out of the brain and you're done. It's amazing. Because of technology, we have way too much time on our hands to waste. Always like was a time when kids would go to school. This was before when schools actually did what they were supposed to. And they'd come home and they'd change their clothes and they'd do their chores. And they'd do their homework and they'd have their dinner and they'd go to bed. They didn't have time for all this technology stuff. Today, it's all they got time for, it seems like. Let me tell you, when kids went to school and they did their chores and they had their evening meal and they went to bed and all, they got up and they did the same thing over and over and over. There was less gangs. There was less issues. There was less need for jails. Now what do? We just keep the same cycle going and just keep building more jails and housing them. And what do? I know a friend of mine, he was in jail for a while, and he told me, he says, I've got a tablet, and I've got a TV, and I've got a radio, and I'm like, he said, and this is his words. He said, I'm living in what I would call an adult daycare center. That was his words. I said, wow. He said, the only thing I don't have is freedom to come and go as I please. Wow. They used to put them on chain gangs. They'd go dig ditches and stuff. They didn't have time to sit around and watch TV and play video games and be on tablets. They didn't have time for all that. And I'm not opposed to that. I thank God we have a part in what Rock of Ages is doing. They're reaching those people with the gospel through the tablets that they have. Thank God for that. But the idea is to get them saved and be contributing members to society. They knew. Those that were in jail knew that they had to get the rest that they needed because they were going to be back out there digging ditches again the next day. They didn't have time to be playing with all kinds of electronics and all. There was a time when you gave a child an apple, an orange, or a banana, they were thrilled. But now it better be something electronic. It's crazy. Today they have so much that they've been given that's molding them and shaping them each day. Solomon had everything a man could think of. Everything he could have. He had it all. He had fame, he had education, he had power, he had material goods, he had romance, he had everything a man could desire to have. But this same man, talking about life, said, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. I know today many parents are thinking they're doing their children a favor by giving them all the things that are out there. I always find it interesting when I go to the store and I see these little 5 and 6 year olds running around with smartphones. I'm like, what do they need that for? People say, well, it's how I keep track of my kid. I said, I used to keep track of them by having them within arm's length. They weren't supposed to be running all over. I remember it wasn't even until I was a teenager I could ride my bike out of the sight of my parents. I was like, but I'm old enough, I should be able to do this. No, my parents said, no, you're not. You're not going anywhere. And then I had children. We did the same thing with them. And then to be out of our sight, they had to be in pairs, at least two. Good parent does not teach their child to depend on them as parents. So many times I've talked to people and over and over and over, their children into their 50s are still living at home and the parents are still supporting them. I'm like, really? Why? Because we're not training them that they need to grow up and get educated and go get a job and earn a living. And don't get me wrong, it's hard to live today. Everything is so blasted expensive. Cost of housing. Every time I hear about rent, I about have a coronary. I cannot imagine how people are paying that kind of rent. It's insane. Thank God that I was able to get out of the rent world. And that instead of listening to everybody saying, well, you can afford this and you can afford that, we said, no, we want to keep it at this so that we can still survive if life happens. And life happened more than once in our lives and we could still survive because we didn't spend our max. We wanted to do things that would bring glory and honor to the Lord. Let me tell you, parents, you're not always going to be around. What are the children going to do when they've never learned that they have to go out and work? Never earned a living. Never had to pay a bill. Now, don't get me wrong, I was joking with my nephew when we saw him in December. He said, my brother and his wife just redid their floors in their house and all, and they're beautiful. But they're concerned that a bunch of people in the house, they don't want to mess up the floors, right? And he said, that's all right, I used to live here, they're pretty laid back. And I said, and I bet you liked it when mom and dad were paying all the bills. He said, oh yeah, that was a whole lot nicer. But he realized he had to grow up. He went off to college. He got a couple degrees. He's now got a really good job. He's now engaged to be married, and they're planning on buying a house. He understood he couldn't live there forever. Parents aren't always going to be around. They need to be able to function without us. One of the causes of boredom is the overabundance of things that people have today. Then number two, there is an undercommitment. I remember, excuse me, when I was working in the corporate world, they told us over and over and over, 20% of the people do 100% of the work. And you could tell that because I thought I worked for a government because there was a lot of people standing around doing nothing all day long and getting away with it. But there was some of us that were working our tails off trying to get everything accomplished. And so as I looked at this, too many people live at the 20% level of commitment. 20% committed to their marriage. 20% committed to their work. 20% are committed to their families. 20% committed to their careers. 20% committed to their church. 20% committed to Jesus Christ. And because of this undercommitment, people are living their lives of frustration and boredom. No wonder they're bored. They're not committed to anything. In order to live a wonderful life, we have to live a life 100%. We have to give the Lord Jesus Christ 100%. I was fortunate. I got to work. The very first person I worked for was my dad, other than odd jobs in the neighborhood and all. But my dad was, you will give 110% while you are here. I went, how can I give 110%? I only have 100% to give. You don't argue with dad, right? So you give 110%. That's how I learned my work ethic. So it was, no, I'm going to do my best while I'm here, giving it my all. Today, people are, what's the least amount I need to do to get by? It's the wrong attitude. The happiest people on earth are those that are committed 100%. Committed to their marriages 100%, to their job, to their church, to the Lord Jesus Christ. But most bored people only commit 20% to anything that they do. Again, God's word says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. What he's talking about there is 100%. Give it our all. And then the cure for boredom. How do we overcome this boredom? Because it is a serious problem for many people. But anytime there's a cause, there is a cure. There's something that causes humans to have cancer. I honestly believe there is a cure for cancer. I just believe it's too big of a moneymaker, so they keep it from us. But I believe there is a cure. There's a cure, but there's no cure available because cancer treatment makes way too much money. There are things that cause boredom, but many have not yet found the cure. God's word has the cure for boredom. We overcome boredom by doing something wholeheartedly. Show me a person that sits around and lays around all the time, and I will show you a bored person. Someone who has nothing to do. A lot of people know there's lots of things that need to be done, right? I mean, there's no shortage of things that need to be done. In fact, we were talking about this the other day. If you own property, there's never a shortage of things that need to be done. There's yard work, there's upkeep on the building, there's plumbing, electrical. I mean, things break down, things have to be fixed, things wear out, they have to be replaced. There's always something that needs to be done. But some people are just way too picky about what they want to do. So they don't do anything. Their what we call honey-do list never gets touched because they're too picky. And people are bored because they have too much time on their hands. In the past, a farmer would go out to his field and work all day plowing. They'd get behind a mule and a plow, and they'd plow their fields, and they'd do as much as they could while they had daylight. Today, they get in their big, huge, temperature-controlled combines and all, and they do all their work. Don't get me wrong, it's still tough work. It's just a lot easier for them now, and they can do a whole lot more in a lot less time. Modern technology has provided us with a lot of spare time on our hands. And many of us are bored because we have nothing to do. Many believe the reason that King David committed that sin with Bathsheba was because he had idle time on his hands, because instead of being in the battle where he should have been, he stayed behind. Idle time is a dangerous thing for mankind. I like where God says, work 6 days and rest one. People say, no, I got to have at least 2 days off a week. Obviously, you've never been self-employed. You don't get to do that when you're self-employed. You get to work all the time. I decided I was going to work 6 days a week and have the Lord's day off. And it worked. 30 years. It worked. People say, you can't do that. It works. Lord wants us to rest. But we're not supposed to be resting all the time. Idle time is a time when the devil wants to invade your life. He knows if your life is lived serving the Lord, there's no room for him in your life. So he wants to get us distracted. He wants us not to be doing what God wants us to do, so we have idle time. Our hands can always find something to do. There's always work that needs to be done. Someone has to take out the trash, pay the bills, replace the oil and filter in the car, greet the customers, stay late and stock up, teach Sunday school, run the soundboard during the service. There's a lot in life that needs to be done, and someone has to do it. And let me tell you, somebody else doesn't exist. A lot of people go through life, somebody else will do that, somebody else will do that, somebody else will do that. Somebody else doesn't exist. Life is all about a whole bunch of small things that someone has to do. Then there's a further application here. One of the best cures for boredom is to get involved helping others. Very difficult to be bored if you're involved giving yourself to help others around you. Boredom comes when we focus on our own needs and desires. We overcome boredom by doing something, but it's not enough to do something. We must do something with passion. Passion. So Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, do it with thy might. When God's word teaches we are to do it with might, he is saying we need to put something into it. Whatever we do, we should do it heartily, enthusiasm and passion, with zeal, and with 100% commitment. Even the most mundane task will be worthwhile if we have the right spirit. I don't care if you're going to be a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, an usher. I don't care if you're going to run the sound booth. I don't care what it is, if you're going to be a preacher, teacher, whatever you do, give it 100%. And then leave everything else in God's hands. There's coming a day, folks, when we're not going to be able to do what we can do now. We'll be too feeble to attend church. We'll be too feeble to teach Sunday school. We'll be too feeble to usher. You might want to do these things, you're just not going to be able to. Ecclesiastes 9:10, the latter part of that says, "For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." We just were at the funeral service for Mary Shelley yesterday. Our son-in-law's grandmother passed, and it was interesting how he brought out that there's a lot of things that people want to do, need to do them now. We don't know when our time's going to be up. Now, Mary Shelley lived to 95 years old. We would consider that a long life. Well, Brother Adam brought out in his message that 95 years is but a vapor. Not very long at all when you look at eternity. There are Christians who are in heaven today who would love to come back and sit in a pew. They'd come back, they would heavily be involved in the work of God, doing everything with their might. I like the hymn, "Softly and Tenderly Jesus is Calling." This is some of the words to that. "Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, deathbeds are coming, coming for you and for me." The point is, whatever we're going to do, we need to do it now. If you intend to do something, be something, try something, do it now. If we're bored with life, boredom is a warning signal. It's like the warning light that goes on in the dash in the car, right? It says you need to do something other than live for yourself. You need to start living for God. This last week, the last week that God has given to each one of us, of those 7 days, did we do anything for the Lord? We say, "Well, I came to church." No, did you do anything in service to the Lord? I'll tell you, our Creator put us here for a purpose. There's a reason we're here. And it's to do something for Him. So we looked. The cause of boredom and the cure for boredom. And I would say again, if you're not saved, you're here today, please, please, please don't put off salvation any longer. If you're not saved, but not living the committed life to the Lord, we need to. We need to commit our life to the Word of God and to sharing the gospel. Life is short. When I was at that funeral yesterday, there was another pastor there that pastors the church our kids go to over in Post Falls. And I told him, I said, "The older I get, the more of these I get to attend, and the more of these I get to officiate." And he said, "It's nice to be a spectator at one of these for a change, isn't it?" Yeah, it is. They called her Grandma Shelley. Grandma Shelley was not related to us by blood, but she was our son-in-law's grandmother. She was a very sweet lady who loved the Lord. And thank God for that. Thank God she was concerned. But one thing that came up when they were sharing time yesterday was that Grandma Shelley had decided early in her life, because she wasn't around her grandparents and all, and her family that much, she decided that because she lived a life as a child, away from family and all, she was going to devote her life to invest in her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, and she actually had a couple great-great-grandchildren. And she invested her life in every one of them. And they all have great memories because of that. Are we investing our lives in others, or are we just keeping it to ourselves? It's important that others know about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do for them. If we're bored, it's because we haven't been in the Word and seen what God has for us to be doing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your Word. I do pray, Father, that if there's someone here who's never accepted Christ as Savior, today would be the day. Life is short. We think when we hear about people living into their 90s and 100 plus, that that's a long time. It's really not long at all when you think about eternity. Father, for those of us who have accepted Christ as Savior, are we living our life a life of boredom, or are we about our Father's business? There's so much that needs to be done and so little time. I pray, Father, that we are giving 100%, that we are committed to You and Your Word and sharing the gospel. So as we have a time of invitation, we turn it over to You as always, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with me, if you're able to stand, as the piano plays, if you need to come, you come.